This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Goodbye or lease for
in the morning.
Iconic, isn't it, that sound? You just immediately know it's a radio. And it's World Radio Day today, and earlier on Pressing Matters, Melissa Idris was speaking to James Kirtland. He's the radio futurologist, about the move to digital radio, and does this mean it's an end of an era? Well, as we found out, not quite so, because radio is here to stay. Recent stats shows that 97% of Malaysians still listen to the radio, and that's a staggering number. So with digital media taking shape in the region, how is radio going to be relevant to all, as a consumer and most importantly, as an advertiser? Well, I spoke to James Kirtland a while back and asked how radio is doing at this point of time.
Well, I think radio is definitely making the most of what technology has to offer. I mean, here we are sitting in a brand new studio with lots of technology in front of us. There isn't anything which isn't a computer in here. When I started as an RJ back in 1992, I was using vinyl records and then CDs were very exciting, you know, so now, certainly when you're talking about making radio, when you're talking about the whole process of putting a radio station together, goodness, radio has grasped the opportunities which are available to it. And really, the only remaining analog piece of that is the FM transmitter, you know, at the end of the day. Everything else has already made, you know, that leap into using technology and using it really well.
Are people still listening to radio? Because, you know, most seem skeptical about radio. They look at it as like a dying form of technology because of the rise of, you know, digital platforms and digital medias.
Yeah, and I find that really interesting because when you actually have a look at where the figures are, radio is doing tremendously well. You know, 93% of people in the US tune into radio every single week. Do you know what that figure is here in Malaysia? 97%.
Wow.
So virtually everybody who is out there is listening to radio every single week. And I think that's something that, you know, clearly that's more people than use Facebook. That's more people that indeed have a smartphone. Radio is doing tremendously well. What radio isn't necessarily is very sexy, very exciting. And that's an issue that the radio industry, you know, everywhere has because people, you know, because radio has always been part of people's lives. And we are more and more being driven by, you know, the flashy lights and the excitement of what you can do on the internet. But 97% of people every single week in Malaysia are tuning in to the radio. That's a tremendous number that any other media owner would be really, really jealous of.
So then why are advertisers then still skeptical about radio and what it can achieve? It seems like they still prefer digital marketing instead of, you know, radio, be it traditional radio or digital radio.
I think a lot of this comes down to the Americans. In the US, the radio industry is very different to the way that the radio industry is here. Most of the radio companies in the US saddled themselves with an awful lot of debt, which has essentially meant that in order for them to repay those debts that they actually have, they've needed to cut lots and lots and lots of cost. And quite a lot of that cost, unfortunately, has come from cutting the cost that you spend on content. So you end up with, you know, very automated stations that don't have the human connection that we kind of expect anymore. The US radio industry is getting smaller and smaller every single year. And people look at the US and assume that that's what's happening across the rest of the world. And that really isn't. The Malaysian radio industry is growing. The radio industry in the UK is growing around 7% year on year. It's growing even more in Australia. So actually, you know, it's one of those cases where the Americans are actually showing us the way not to do it. which doesn't happen that often in terms of tech and new ideas, but certainly in terms of radio it is. And I think, you know, radio really in the US is under, you know, has quite some issues, but that's not issues that we're seeing really anywhere else in the world. And certainly when you have a look in this part of the world, when you have a look in Southeast Asia, radio is doing so tremendously well and growing so fast in so many different countries. You know, radio really has a great future.
I'm speaking to James Kirtland. He's the radio futurologist. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll be speaking about what will happen with this enormous percentage of radio listenership in Malaysia when we move into the digital space and what will change for you as a consumer. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Enterprise and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm here with James Kirtland. He's the man who probably has the best title on his business card so far I've witnessed. It's a radio futurologist. James, we were talking about this huge percentage of listenerships here in Malaysia on radio that we have. When we move into the digital radio, what's going to happen to, you know, current listening habits? Are we going to lose what we already have? Like, what, 97%? That's a lot of percentage of people listening to radio. And like you said, it's a number that, you know, anyone would die to have. What will happen when we go to digital? Are we going to start from scratch again?
Well, I think radio is one of those weird things where you don't necessarily see when you're around in a friend's house, you won't see their radio because their radio will be in a very intimate place. It'll be in their bedroom. It'll be in their bathroom. It'll be in their car. We consume radio normally when we're alone, normally when we're driving and things like that. Whereas TV, of course, is very different. You're, you know, certainly in the UK, certainly in Australia, your front room is really, you know, centered on where your TV is. Your television is the thing that everybody can see when they walk into your room. That's why you end up spending an awful lot on a fancy flat screen TV, you know, that has all of the latest attachments on it and everything else. Radio is a much more intimate thing. And that actually means that the way that we're listening to radio isn't changing as fast as many people expect it's going to. But having said that, there are countries in the world where radio is changing an awful lot. If you look in Norway, what they're doing in Norway is in 2017, next year, they're beginning to turn off FM completely. And they're moving over to a new technology called DAB. And DAB is essentially the same as what happened here with TV a few years ago. Instead of using old analog ways of broadcasting radio, we're moving to a new way, which essentially means that you can fit in four times the amount of radio stations there. And that will, you know, considerably change how Norwegians tune into the radio, you know, and that kind of change is also happening in places like the UK, Switzerland, Germany, and so on and so forth. So people are actually beginning to listen to radio in very different ways. But what radio is really isn't changing. It's that human connection. It's that shared experience that people really enjoy in terms of radio. And almost the fact that most people are still using FM here is kind of immaterial. It's actually, you know, what radio offers and what radio does is brilliant, whether or not you're tuning into it on a smartphone, whether or not you're tuning in over DAB on Astro, or of course on your FM radio.
So let's talk about Norway then, James. So they're going to move to DAB and they're going to shut down FM completely next year. So as a consumer, then what are the changes that I will experience?
You'll notice a couple of differences. The main difference that you'll notice is instead of having two or three national radio stations in Norway, all of a sudden you'll have over 20. And that means that you have radio stations which are much more targeted to who you are. You know, so the biggest radio station in Norway is a radio station called P1. And what P1 is it's a nice radio station that has, you know, music and speech and everything else. They realized a few years ago that that radio station was actually starting to sound too old, and their audience was was actually dying because they were actually too old. So what they ended up doing is they took P1, they made P1 a younger sounding radio station, but they realized that they couldn't just abandon all of their 65-year-old audience. So they made a new additional radio station on DAB called P1 Plus. And P1 Plus is all of the old music and all of the old voices that that audience really liked, while they ended up moving the main station, P1, a lot younger. You know, so actually what it means is it means that there'll be more radio stations that you really like, more radio stations which are targeted far more closely to what you're interested in actually hearing. And that's fantastic, you know, and that's a very helpful thing. And that kind of thing, you know, is obviously also happening on the internet. Is also happening in other ways. So Sirius XM's satellite radio in the US also has this incredible range of great stations that you can end up tuning into.
And what about traditional radio? Does it still have a place when, you know, all of this moves into the digital space?
Well, and when you look at branding, when you look at trying to get your message out there, you still need mass media. You still need media that touches lots of people every single day, every single week. And that's what radio is particularly good at. I mean, radio is the best place to advertise if you're heading to the shops, if you're going to the shopping mall over the weekend. What a great place to advertise as you're going into the shopping mall, telling people what it is that they ought to be going and buying. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity there. So I think that radio as a mass market medium has a great place in the advertising mix. Radio works really well when it's combined with other forms of advertising as well. So when it's combined with TV, when it's combined with internet too. You know, it's a great multiplier from that point of view. And actually, you know, we need both, you know, really targeted, you know, clever advertising that you can do on Facebook and that kind of thing, as well as that mass market stuff. Because if people don't know what your brand is, if people don't know what you stand for, then you can do as much, you know, clever ROI advertising on social media as you like. But actually, if nobody recognizes your brand, that's going to be quite a lot of wasted money. But, you know, having said that, there are radio stations here which are experimenting with in-stream, so targeted advertising. So you might get a different commercial in the break than I would get. And that's particularly useful in the UK. They've been able to advertise alcoholic drinks, for example, which have specific rules around that. If I know that you're over 18, then I know that I can actually advertise alcoholic drinks in a different way than if it's just a radio station where children can be tuning into. So that that offers additional opportunities there as well. And there are some stations, actually, stations in the US where they're actually monitoring what else you're doing on the internet, which sounds a little bit scary. But what it essentially means is you might have just booked a flight to New York. And as you're listening to the radio, the next advert break comes on and it says, now you've booked your flight to New York. How about this great hotel? And it starts talking to you about that. Absolutely no reason why you can't do that on the radio. And the interesting thing is we know from research that about 1 in 5 people who are surfing the internet, who are, you know, looking at internet websites, about 1 in 5 have the radio on at the same time. You know, so there's some great opportunity there as well.
I'm speaking to James Kirtland, the radio futurologist, and after the Bursa update, we will be talking about James's first encounter with digital radio as he led the world's first radio smartphone app. And this happened way back in March 2005, a time before the iPhones. We'll find out how did that go after this. BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to me, Jeff Sandhu, together with my guest in the studio, James Kirtland. He's the radio futurologist, and we were talking about, you know, where does radio belong in this digital world? James, let's talk about one of the first few beginnings for digital radio. In 2001, you joined Virgin Radio in London, and you were the digital media director. And in March 2005, you launched the world's first radio smartphone app. James, this was the time before the iPhones and before we even knew the word app existed.
Yes, indeed. We called it a 3G tuner. We had no idea what to call it. Rubbish name.
So how did that happen? I mean, it was so early days for, you know, digital world.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at the original Virgin Radio in London for 7 years. And one of the things that I was very keen to do was to essentially make Virgin Radio come out of every speaker that I possibly could. So if a device had a speaker in it, I wanted Virgin Radio to come out of that. And so we started looking at, you know, how can we get Virgin Radio to come out of your TV? So we made sure that it was available on all of the TV networks. How can we get Virgin Radio to come out of, you know, I think we tried bus stops for a while. So if you're standing there waiting for a bus, there was Virgin Radio. We got quite a lot of complaints for that. But that was the whole point was, you know, if there's a speaker somewhere, I want Virgin Radio coming out of it. And I looked at some of the newer mobile phones that were coming out at the time, and there was a Sony Ericsson P900, which is this great big blue touchscreen Symbian mobile phone. And I thought, this is a really nice thing. And actually, it was a company in Singapore who we used, who actually worked out how to receive a stream of our station and make that available on those mobile phones and on Nokia mobile phones as well, so that you could actually tune in. Of course, the cost of data was really expensive at the time.
And it was a time where WAP sites, if I'm not mistaken, were hugely popular. And if I remember correctly, I think telcos were charging us by the kilobytes, by KBs, instead of, you know, having gigabyte plans like we have at the moment. So how much did it actually cost to stream a podcast back then?
We ended up having so our stream was 8K was an 8K stream. So typically now, an internet stream would be about 128K, and this was an 8K stream. It didn't sound fantastic. If you listened for an hour, it would cost you somewhere in the region of $20. So frankly, you could have gone out and bought a CD. It was probably and it would probably sound a little bit better. But I mean, I think quite a lot of this was, let's see what works. Let's see what works, see what doesn't. Let's see if we can do that in the cheapest way possible to understand what works, to understand what consumers want. And if we fail, then we fail, but we've not spent an awful lot of money doing it. And if we succeed, well, you know, then we've got some great first mover advantage, you know, to actually move a mover forward and make the best, you know, out of this. And so, you know, for a long time, Virgin Radio was the most listened to radio station on the internet. You know, those numbers are still not particularly large, but nevertheless, you know, the most listened to radio station on the internet.
Did it help being the first?
And yeah, I mean, you know, the station itself was the first radio station in Europe to actually stream online, you know. So, I mean, there was a great opportunity there in being first, in understanding more about this than our competitors understood, and to actually make that first move.
But you guys were still really serious about making it work, despite these challenges, despite being so really early on in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's important to do something and do it so that it is a nice experience for a consumer, but also important to watch how the consumer uses it and to see what's a success. You know, how can we learn from this? How can we make this stuff better? And it was a great experience. You know, the amount of people who were using it, I have to tell you, wasn't that large, because it was only available on a handful of phones. The iPhone, of course, wasn't out. Your phones wouldn't connect to Wi-Fi, because Wi-Fi really wasn't around either. You know, so it was a very, very early experience, but it was an experience that was definitely worth worth our while doing. And I think, you know, when you're looking at, and this isn't just relevant for radio, it's relevant for industry as a whole, that actually trying to innovate as much as you can, trying to be as agile as you can, and, you know, no harm in failing as well, no harm in doing things that actually are a complete waste of time. You know, there's actually no harm as long as you've not spent ridiculous amounts of cash in getting there, because some things work and some things don't. At the end of the day, it can be a gamble. But, you know, trying to do new things is a really important part, whatever business you're actually in.
James, from Virgin Radio, you moved on, and in 2007, you joined the BBC to work on the BBC iPlayer for radio. And you also managed to achieve a dramatic increase in the service's audio quality and being part of the team that led the foundations of, UK Radio Player. How different was the iPlayer's challenge compared to the Virgin Radio app?
Well, the BBC is the world's largest broadcaster. It's a wonderful place to work. There are lots of very, very talented people there. It was a bit like driving a very large oil tanker. It's quite hard to steer. It's quite hard to change its direction.
But it was still a huge step in the right direction, especially when we talk about innovation coming from an organization like the BBC.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, so what the iPlayer is it's a way of you being able to go back and listen to any radio show from the last 7 days on the 50 radio stations that the BBC operates in the UK. As well as that, being able to do the same for television as well, so you can go back and watch all manner of TV shows in there as well. iPlayer Radio is now available anywhere in the world. So, you know, if anybody wants iPlayer Radio, it's a free download from the App Store. But again, you know, there were lots of learnings there and lots of understandings. When I joined, the radio stations didn't sound particularly good online. We had something that offered some of this, opportunity, but hadn't been coded very well, was always falling over, was always, you know, breaking down. And so my first priority was fixing that, making sure that it worked properly, and then actually moving everything over to make sure that it sounded fantastic. So, you know, what was quite nice is joining the BBC, where the internet stream sounded the worst of any internet streams that I'd ever heard, and leaving with the internet stream sounding better quality than anything else that the BBC was actually making. So if you're a real fan of, you know, classical music, for example, the best quality that you will get is through the iPlayer app now, and that's a tremendous step forward from where we were, you know. So I think what that experience taught me is, even working for a large organization, for an organization that has lots of internal stakeholders, lots of people who need to be consulted in every step, you can still make a difference. You can still innovate. You can still move things forward. And that was a real learning experience, I think.
James, what's the right direction for radio stations to take on, now that we're moving into the digital world? BFM, for example, we're available on FM, we're available on online on the website, or if you have an iOS or an Android phone, you're available there as well. On social media as well. And, you know, a lot of radio stations are doing the same thing. How can we still engage with, you know, current group of listeners that we have, gain new listeners as we move into the digital world? And most importantly, I guess, how do we gain the confidence from advertisers and the belief that radio is still beneficial for them?
Yeah, well, I think the right step forward is all of this great content that any radio station makes is getting the most amount of value from from that as possible. You know, so we're sitting in a radio studio, but there's absolutely no reason why there can't be cameras in here, why we can't be sticking this out on YouTube as a piece of on-demand content, putting it on your website as a piece of on-demand content as well, making it available as a podcast, transcribing it so that it's available for Google to search and use and understand. You know, there are lots of really interesting things that we can do with the great content that we're making. And I think quite a lot of radio stations think of themselves as transmitter operators rather than as content creators. And really, we need to stop thinking of ourselves as being in the transmitter business, just as newspapers need to stop thinking of themselves as being in the, you know, in the printing press, you know, area, and actually focus much more on what we do with the amazing content that we actually have. And the interesting thing is, you know, we will listen to, you know, typically on average 3 or 4 hours of radio every single day, yet we're all producing 24-hour stations, you know. So why are we, you know, are there ways, particularly in terms of apps, that we can produce something which is more personalized, something where we can possibly focus on 4 hours of amazing content rather than spreading that same resource over, you know, a full 24-hour day, you know. So there are some real opportunities, I think, in where we actually move, in where we actually go.
Should we still call it radio then, James?
I like the phrase radio, and I you know, so my definition of radio is a shared experience with a human connection. And I think that, you know, radio is a great word that we should be incredibly proud of in our industry. We shouldn't necessarily fall back and use the term audio, because that's a much more, you know, clinical, sterile thing. You know, the whole human connection, the whole shared experience, that's the important thing of what radio is all about. Telling each other stories, keeping each other connected with the world, you know, all of that is, you know, hugely important.
I've been speaking to the radio futurologist, James Kirtland, talking about the digital world and where does radio belong. My name is Jeff Sandu, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.